EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 7-1 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 7-1 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Murder 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all okay. Ash is our first of two tonight from Ontario, Canada, and he will be sharing his UFO encounters. The first was a black triangle witnessed on a camping trip near Lake Huron in 1989, and his second was also by a lake, but this time it was Lake St. Clair, where Ash and a friend observed a glowing sphere in 1997. And then we head down to the States and hear from Cody in Nebraska, and he will be sharing a couple of UFO encounters from the summer of 2012, one being of a cigar-shaped object on a clear, cloudless afternoon in Montana. Cody has also some interesting paranormal experiences that we're going to be hearing tonight. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly recurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Ash. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you doing? Calling from Ontario, Canada?
Yes.
Wonderful. Now, Ash, you're going to be sharing a couple of your UFO experiences. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Ash?
Yes, I can do that. The first time I saw an object, it was 1989. At that time, I was 8. We were on a camping trip. Lake Huron, most people in the area will be familiar with Grand Bend. Somewhere outside of there wasn't the Pinery. There was another campground we were staying at. So late in the night, I woke up abruptly, as I do sometimes, just alert and awake. And I decided just to watch the stars because that's what I like to do as a child. And I was laying there and I saw, I guess it's hard to say this, but there were several things that felt different at the time. I was actually watching the stars at this time. So the insects outside stopped making noise. And I felt on my body similar to an electrical charge, like static electricity. My parents and my brother were in the car at the time, but they were sleeping. They seemed to be I don't know how to describe this, but they seem to be more unconscious than regular, if that makes sense, but they just seem to be more comatose. There was a hum, similar to a bass speaker or standing close to an electrical transform or something like that, that kind of white humming noise. After which I saw a triangular object, black. I couldn't make out the color of it because there were no lights on it. It was nighttime. I could see the treetops from the car where I was sleeping because it was a hatchback. I could see through the back glass. And this triangle slowly went over. The leading edge of it had an effect. I wrote it down as a blue fire effect when I was a child, but it looked more like an aurora borealis, kind of green and bluish, that rippled around it as it moved over. And it just slowly went across the treetops. It was probably just above the treetops. I can't estimate, you know, how high it was. I don't know what the size of the object was. It was much larger than the car I was in, because it blacked out the sky as it went over. And it just continued on. It didn't do anything other than that. But I could never figure out what exactly it was. So that would be the first time that I saw something. I wrote it in a journal and looked at it later when I was more of an adult. That was pretty much it. The second time that I saw an object, I went out to a location called Mitchell's Bay. It's on Lake St. Clair. I wasn't in the actual town. We were outside of town. This was in 1997. And it was about 2 a.m. We just got off work, a friend and I. We went out into, it's a farmer's field. The road is basically not even dirt road. It's grass with some tire tracks in it. And we drove down it and we parked out near the water. Because I used to smoke when I was younger, and we went out there, had some cigarettes. We were shooting flares into the lake because we were bored and we just got off work. So we sat there. I sat on the hood of his car with him, and we just had a cigarette and we were talking. So what happened was light. The first thing that happened, looks like it was like light, and we didn't know where it was coming from. I assumed it was a car coming up behind us, but we were in a farmer's field at the end of this road. So, you know, I didn't know, but my friend spotted something over the lake, and it was almost like it looked like a spotlight. If I were to extend my arm, it would be about the size of a little bigger than a quarter. And it was on us, extremely bright to my right, like somebody's headlights were on us. And I assumed right away that it must be a helicopter or something, because we were shooting flares into the lake. I figured somebody was coming to look for it, but it had the light on us for a little bit. And then, and this was a longer process. It was 5 or 6 minutes of this engagement. So it was on us for a little bit, and then it rotated around, and I could still see it because it was black. It blocked out the sky. If you've seen the sky at night, you can see near the tree line and everything, there's kind of a blue haze that goes up. And I could see this black, you know, ball in the sky, and the light was still on, but it was doing something over the water. I don't know what it was doing, but it was kind of erratically. The only way I can describe it is similar to, if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, the Eye of Sauron, where it's jumping around and it's looking over the water. I don't know what it was doing. And then it turned back around and I could see the light side again, but it was not focused on us, the light. And it kind of jumped around abruptly over the water. And we were, at this time, my friend and I were trying to figure out what this is, because it was very harsh movements. And then it returned to its original position and shot up into the sky. And if you've seen, I guess, a satellite or something with the naked eye, or, you know, say the International Space Station, that little dot of light, it moved across the sky to, I believe that would be south. It moved south across the sky and just kind of took off. So we didn't know what it was. We joked around about it for a little bit. And then shortly, probably about 3 minutes after or something like that, helicopters did actually come to that area, and you could hear the sound of them. I'm assuming it came from, I don't know. I'm not sure, because it's, that area is on the U.S.-Canadian border. But there were three helicopters that came afterwards over the lake, and they seemed to be looking for something as well. So the actual helicopter, if I were to judge the size of it, if they were in the same position, the actual object we saw was the same size in, say, diameter as the helicopter from front to end. And the helicopters had lights on them too, but they were much, much smaller and didn't have the impact. So I'm not sure how far they were away from the coast of the lake. I don't know. But again, this was weird occurrence again with a friend of mine, and we discussed it for a little bit afterwards. But I talk to people about it, or I tell people about it, but it's just some kind of oddity that had happened, and I don't know what it was. It
certainly is an oddity. I mean, purely just shooting off into the sky is a bit of a marker there. I mean, I have quite, well, the area where I live, I have helicopters that go around constantly searching for stolen cars or whatever, and they always have a pattern. Did this object that you saw, did it have any kind of pattern?
It seemed to, I don't know which, because I'm looking at it in kind of a 2D way, because I'm looking at it, I wasn't able to see, it was jumping in a couple locations, but I don't know if it was doing it in a three-dimensional pattern over the water, because it looked like it was just going from one side to the other. But I know if I was in it, that physically I would be hurt when the object stopped. Because it was like if you take a laser pointer and jump it, to two places, if I was in it, I would be damaged by the force of stopping abruptly like that.
Yeah, and generally helicopters don't move so radically like that for obvious reasons.
No, and there was no thrust or anything associated with it when I went up. It just looked like the same ball that just shot up into the sky. There was no rocket or anything that you would associate with an object that was, a helicopter hovers, but not so perfectly, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. The only light you actually saw was actually from the spotlight itself.
I saw the light, the craft itself seemed to be illuminated, but I did see the lights of the helicopters when they came afterwards, but they were a lot smaller, because the whole object itself was illuminated, just turned dark when it spun around, but I don't know what it was doing.
Interesting. What color was the light?
Kind of maybe a pale yellow, but it was more solid, like metal gets really hot.
Yeah,
it looked more like that than a light, because the light has kind of a flicker to it. This looked like if I threw it, because I've done this when I was a kid, threw iron into a fire and then you pull it out and it has a luminosity to it, but it's muted in comparison to a light bulb or something.
I mean, if you want to get attention from anyone, certainly shooting flares off into the lake is a good way of doing it. So it could just been, flying around and seeing these strange lights hitting the water and wanted to have a look.
That's what we assumed as well right away, was that because we were shooting, but it was probably about a 2-minute gap between, which would make sense if something was coming. It's probably about a 2-minute gap between the time that we were doing that. We had just lit up a cigarette and sat there on the car, but the light came on us, so we didn't notice where it came from. It was just the light kind of from the right a little bit behind. That's why I assumed it was headlights to begin with. It behaved very erratically, so I can't reconcile that with operating aircraft. That's the difficulty for me, I guess.
I mean, there was no beakers, no flashing beakers on there, so you could probably discount any planes, and it wasn't even drones in those days in any case.
No running lights or anything, which is usually, for me, if I ever look at an object, the first thing I'm looking for is running lights and things like that, like an aircraft or something to signify that I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what it was. It just behaved oddly.
And then completely shut off.
Yeah, but we could still see it. Like I said, it was something like if you were observing, say, like the International Space Station going across the sky, it's that very tiny light, and you can see it kind of like zip across the sky. But what it was doing, who knows?
Interesting. And did you ever actually report this sighting?
No, at the time, I had no idea anything about the topic at all. I didn't know that there was anybody you could report anything to. I didn't really realize that until I was around in my 30s when I was going back to look at some of this stuff for information due to the internet.
I mean, Lake Huron has come up a few times. I've had that come up in past past encounters.
Yeah, there was no information at that time. It was 97. I didn't even have a cell phone at that time. And what we did have available to us was, you know, archaic compared to what we have now.
They were just bricks.
Pretty much.
I think roughly about 97 is actually when I did get my first phone.
Yeah, I think I got one maybe 2002, but it was a flip phone and the pictures were poor quality. I can't imagine getting a good picture at night or video at night anyway, unless you had the proper equipment to begin with.
Okay. Now the triangle object you saw,
mm-hmm.
the leading edge, when it had this blue-green aurora-like effect, was it only on the lead? Was it completely on the leading edge, or did it circulate the whole object?
No, only on the front two surfaces of the actual triangle. It seemed to be kind of, I don't know how to describe the back end of it, more like dissipating, I guess.
Right, right, okay.
Similar to a canoe going through water with the ripples, it kind of separates around the canoe, but then at the end it, you know.
Height-wise, can you kind of gift any kind of from above the car?
Well, the trees, like a typical large pine tree, I'm guessing are probably 60 feet maybe. If I were to guess, it would probably have been maybe 10 or 15 feet over that. It was really low.
And a lot bigger than the car. So it completely passed over. So you were viewing it from?
I was viewing it from the ground. I was basically in the back of the car. I could see it through the rear window because, again, it's a hatchback, so it's just a glass window. It was an Acadian, so those cars are, the whole back was kind of glass, so you could see out pretty right. well.
The object completely covered the glass, so all you could see was basically this object.
I could only see the actual object. I could see, like I said, I could see the sky completely clear. I could see the tops of the trees, but when the object passed over, it blocked out the sky until it completely passed over.
And you mentioned it gave off a kind of feeling for you.
Yeah, just I tried to describe this before, but I was close to lightning with two of my friends when it struck a phone box. And before the lightning strikes, you get this feeling all over your body is static electricity. And that staticky feeling is what I felt as it passed over.
Yeah, I was in close proximity to a lightning strike years and years ago. And that was the same static. You're so completely surrounded by this static. It was like crackling. Crackling all around you. My heart was just racing. and I felt energized for the whole week.
And interesting how when it doesn't sound like thunder. It sounds like someone clapping their hands really loud when you're close to it, like a snap.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a close one, that was.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to actually get struck, that's for sure.
No, it wouldn't be good. Like, you know, you can still, even after all these years, you can still report this, whether it's to MUFON or the National Reporting Center. Probably MUFON would probably be better for you if you're in Canada. But you never know, because other people look at the records and see if anybody had the same experience in the same area. And I know researchers use these catalogs in any case.
Well, I did for the second one, and there were other people that observed the same type of object over the lake in August of that year. But I don't, like I said, I don't know exactly what it was. It just seemed to be doing something, but who knows really, whatever they are, who knows what they're doing.
Who knows? And it was they were both in August as well.
Yeah, both in August, both near the lake as well. But two different lakes, but same right. thing. Well, I'm hoping that, like I said, the only reason that I actually got interested in the subject is because I heard somebody speaking about the some physiological effects, and I thought that it would be beneficial if anybody maybe had experienced the same thing to know that it does happen to other people. You know,
like we were saying before the show, you know, these little details, especially when it comes to the effects, you know, that's always a good thing to hear.
Yeah, I'd like to just know what they were. That's all I would like to know, is what were the objects. Who knows if that'll ever happen?
Who knows? Yeah, you could be waiting a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
But the important thing is, you know, that, you know, you had this experience, you know, because not everyone gets to have an experience like this, such, you know, so up close.
Yeah, it, for me, because like I said, I was very interested. I still am. Science and technology, I've always followed my whole life. to me, it was just interesting observing, I guess, you know, and cataloging what I felt, especially when I was younger, because I did that a lot, you know.
Everything is important, you know, whether it's a little experience of a couple of lights in the sky or you've been missing for 5 days. It's all as important.
Well, that's what, like I said, I heard somebody speaking about the physiological effect of the vibration feeling. And that's what actually kind of got me interested in looking into the phenomenon itself. Because I just didn't really know anybody, you know, saw things that were similar. So I think the best thing to do is for people to actually share what they've observed and try to catalog as much data about it as possible so we can kind of figure it out. I hope I got enough detail in there for people to at least, you know, like I said, I was just hoping that if somebody else out there has seen similar objects or something, maybe it, you know, they don't feel crazy, because I think a lot of people have seen these things and they, you know, they question. Because I'm skeptical of the things I've seen too, to be honest with you. I don't know what it is, but like I said, I'm open-minded to it. So,
yeah, and it is important to question these things, because you obviously want to narrow it down. You know, you want to say it's not this. You know, you want to say it's not a plane, it's not a helicopter, and whatever you're kind of left with, which you don't have an explanation for. I mean, that's, you know, that's what really what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's why, like I said, I can say what I've seen, but I can't give any definitive answer on what exactly it was, you know. Just they were odd to me experiences, basically. I was actually happy though to see that the United States is seeming to take it a little bit more seriously now and actually look into it, you know. That's interesting.
It has helped, especially when the article started coming out in the a couple of years ago with the Navy pilots, and people started to accept it a little bit more, and in turn, you know, science and journalists started to, you know, not make such a joke of it.
That's why I always thought it was funny that science is supposed to take us to the truth, wherever that truth may lead us to, or wherever that search may lead us to, right? But in certain areas, they just no. So I'm glad that that's somewhat changing, because there's a few physicists and things that I respect a lot for actually legitimately just wanting to look into it. You know, whatever it turns out to be, you know. And I also find it funny from the scientific point of view that the act of creativity is, you know, based on incomplete data anyway. Right. I mean, even Darwinism, he observed, you know, some changes in the physiology of animals. He didn't know anything about DNA or whatever. But then here we are, right? So I just don't understand how, I don't know, even reading about you know, Peter Higgs, I'm sure you're familiar with the Higgs boson.
That's right.
I remember reading about how he was met with scorn and ridicule from a lot of his colleagues because it was outside of the status quo. Yet, surprise, surprise, he was right. So I just find it funny that for an entire part of our society that prides itself on creativity and thinking outside the box and building our tomorrow, that some of the topics are too taboo for them to touch. I appreciate data, but I think now that people are actually recording it and sharing it a little more, it'll help things, hopefully.
Yeah. So, you know, scientists are taking note. I don't think we're on the verge of getting a complete disclosure. You know, I don't really think that's going to happen, regardless what people believe at the minute. I think it's going to be a very, very slow process.
I think it's just nice to have like dialogue about it, you know, and talking about it, looking into it. Yeah.
It's baby steps. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully, I don't know, like I said, it's nice to see the information being shared with people a little bit more, being a little bit more open about it, because in the past, you know, it wasn't as such, right? So I'm just glad the conversation is happening.
Well, okay, Ash, wonderful. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing that with our listeners.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks very much. I appreciate that you're getting the information out.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for that, man. That's great. All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
You enjoy the rest of the evening.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Welcome to the show, Cody.
Why, thank you.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Nebraska.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Now, Cody, you're going to be sharing some paranormal and ET encounters with us tonight. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Cody?
Yeah. Well, the first encounter I had, I don't even know if it was an encounter, and I've actually heard this on your podcast recently, and it kind of blew me away. I was just talking to my mom the other day, telling her I was going to be on this podcast. And she reminded me that when I was about 7 or 8 years old, we were driving in Wyoming. That's where I grew up, was Wyoming, around Casper. We were driving to a place called Thermopolis, which is hot springs. And it was middle of the day. And it was me and my mom and my two older brothers, who are all a year older than me. And we looked up and my mom said, "What is that in the sky?" And it was a giant fireball, basically. It looked like a meteor, but it was as big as the moon, and it blew my mind, because I've always had this like weird fear of the end of the world ever since I was little. Like movies like Armageddon and stuff, I can't watch them. They give me like really bad anxiety for no reason. There's no reason for it. I've always felt that way. So when I saw that in the sky, I immediately thought the end of the world. Like, there's a giant comet, it's going to hit the ground. But it never moved in the sky. It stayed in that one spot for 40 minutes while we were driving, because I was glued on it. And my mom actually reminded me of that the other day. So that, I would say, I don't know what that was, but it was nothing I'd ever seen, nor my mom. And I've never seen anything like it again. That was kind of my first experience. My second was with a ghost. Now, I come from a family. My mom's Native American. My family's very supportive when it comes to ghosts and stuff like that. They all believe very much so in all that stuff. She was always very supportive, so she was one I could always talk to. But I was in sixth grade, and I was staying at a buddy's house, and he just lived in a regular old, regular house in our neighborhood. Good buddy of mine, we were downstairs in his basement, and the way his basement was set up was the kitchen was right above, and then there was a stairwell that came down at the back of his house downstairs, and then it opened up into a big room, and it was basically like a pool table in the middle of the room, and then he had a big flat tube TV at the time, it was the 90s, on the back wall. And we put a giant beanbag chair right in front of the TV, so it was the TV against the wall, the beanbag chair, and then the pool table, and at the back of the pool table was the stairs that led upstairs. And the stairwell was lit up by a light in the kitchen that they'd left on that night. And we were watching movies, a VHS, and when you watch VHS, when it's played through, eventually the screen will just turn blue and it'll stay blue. So the whole room was lit up blue, and we had fallen asleep during the movie, and I'd woken up at like 2 or 3 in the morning. I have no idea. I just know it was in the middle of the night. The screen was blue, which meant the VHS had played out for a long time. And I just woke right up. I had this really weird, eerie feeling, and I peeked my head up and looked behind me over the pool table, and there was a pure black cowboy standing like, he looked exactly like there's an emblem for Wyoming that's like a cowboy, and he's leaned up with his leg crossed and his arms crossed. It's like the Wyoming kind of emblem, other than the guy riding the horse, but it looked exactly like that. He was leaned against the wall. I could see he was jet black, but I could see every detail of the outline of him. I could see where his arms were crossed. I could see the wrinkles on the shirt on his elbow. Like, it was so detailed, but the light coming down the stairs, I would think it would like light him up so I could see maybe like his shirt color or something. Nothing. The blue light from the TV, he was just pitch black.
And it scared me. It scared the crap out of me. At first, I thought it was his dad, so I ducked down real quick because, you know, I just didn't want his dad to think we were up, or I don't know. I was pretty scared. And I peeked up over the table a couple of times after that just to see if it was still there, and it never left. It stayed right there, never moved. And eventually, I fell asleep. I woke up the next day, and I asked his dad, who was a little guy. He's probably 5'2", a little man. He was a wrestling coach, really cool guy. I said, hey, were you downstairs last night? Did you come check on us? And he's, no, why would I like that? No, I'm not going to come check on you. And I told him, I said, I saw this cowboy, and his dad was not a cowboy, so I should have kind of put that together. I said, I saw a cowboy standing downstairs in the basement last night watching us. And his dad said, oh, that's weird. I've heard of a little girl in the house, but never a cowboy. And that sent shivers up my spine. I said, holy crap. Like, I had no idea his house. And I never stayed there again. That freaked me out bad enough. I never stayed there again. That was really eerie. It kind of gives me chills just talking about it. I had another ghost experience in my house. The house we grew up in, my parents just moved out of there last year, but from third grade all the way until I was out of high school, my parents lived there. And my middle brother had always claimed that he'd see stuff in the house, but none of us ever did. And my grandma lived in a house directly behind us. It was like a little tiny one bedroom house, basically in our backyard. And my mom would always go and have coffee with her. And I was taking a shower one day, and I was in the house by myself. And I looked down, and I saw a little girl peeking her head in the shower. And I absolutely just like white out fear. I froze for a minute, and all I could think was, I have to run. I have to run. I have to run. So I whipped the shower curtain open. There's nobody there. I don't have any sisters. I have two older brothers. There's no girls around. No girls should be in the house. I grabbed a towel and jetted butt naked over to my grandma's house where my mom was, and I ran in the house, and I was like shaking and freaking out, and my grandma's like, what are you doing? You know, she's mad because I just busted into her house naked, basically. I had a towel on, and my mom goes, wait, what did you see? And I said, I saw a little girl peek in on me in the shower. And my mom started laughing, and she goes, yep, your brother's seen a little girl, not in the bathroom, but he's seen one in the house. And I was like, oh my gosh, which totally freaked me out. Only time I ever seen it. And then as I got older, I think I was in high school. Me and my middle brother believed in this stuff, but my oldest brother has no belief in ghosts or anything like that. He's just not a guy who believes in that stuff. And I think I was just out of high school. I came back to see my mom. And my mom believes that something attached itself to her, and she brought it back to the house because my brother had seen something and I didn't know. And I was sitting on her like a recliner chair, and next to the recliner is the stairs that go downstairs. And I looked over and I saw an old lady coming up the stairs, but she looked mad. Like she had in my brain, when I see it, it's like a witch face, like a wicked witch. Like she looked very upset coming up the stairs. And I jumped clean out of that chair. And my mom started laughing, and she said, did you see the old lady? And I said, yeah, what was that? And she goes, your oldest brother, who doesn't believe in that stuff, also seen her while he was sitting there. And I was like, holy crap. It scared the crap out of me. My mom got a kick out of it, but I'm not afraid of a lot, but ghosts are definitely one of those that I would just rather not have contact with at all. For paranormal stuff, I mean, I lived in a, I would call it a haunted apartment before I moved to Nebraska, but it was just noises. You'd hear people come up the stairs. There would be nobody there. Nothing ever moved. Nothing was ever scary. It wasn't poltergeist, but I think that was about it for my ghost experiences. Super scary though. I do not like ghosts. I don't like anything that has to do with ghosts or demons. That stuff scares the crap out of me. But after I moved out in Wyoming, you got like two options. You could either move to another state or you go to the oil field. So I went to the oil field probably about 2012. I lived in Casper, but I worked in North Dakota. and we would do like 29 days on. I worked for a casing inspection crew, so we would drive from rig to rig, and we'd clean and inspect their casing, and then we'd drive back. My first, I would call it sighting of a UFO. It wasn't quite a UFO. It was just a light, but we had just finished. It was probably in 2012. We had finished doing casing and we're waiting on our boss to talk to the company man on the rig. And we're all standing around and we're bull crapping and it's the middle of the night and we are in nowhere, North Dakota. But it's beautiful out, clear skies. You can see every star in the sky. There's no light pollution. We are in the middle of the prairie. Absolutely gorgeous. And I'm talking to a guy and we're looking up at the stars, just kind of chit chatting. And we see this, it looks like a star. It has the same brightness of a star. Like it's not like a spotlight or anything like that. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're like, what is that? That is so weird. Like, look how big it is. And it started out the size of a star, so we didn't notice it. But by the time we were like really focusing on it, it was probably the size of like an apple. If you held it up, it was like, looked like it was right on top of us. And there's like 15 guys on our crew. And we're like, dude, look at that. And when we told them about it and looked up, it was gone. It had just vanished out of the sky. There was no, it wasn't a plane. There was no noise. There was nothing. Me and the guy are just like, holy crap. Like, apparently we're the only two that saw that because everybody else is like, I don't know what you're looking at. And we're like, well, it was right there above us, like directly above us. It was huge. And then it blinked out. So we were like, oh man, that was crazy. Kind of hyped on that for a while, but of course it's the oil field. We got over it. We couldn't explain it. So we just figured out whatever. It was probably something plane or something. We're in the middle of NORDAC. Who knows? I would say I wouldn't even say it was a few months later. We would drive from North Dakota. We were staying in Killdeer and then we would drive all the way back to Casper, which took us about 9.5 hours. So we would drive from North Dakota to from Killdeer all the way to Miles City, Montana, which is about the halfway point. We'd get gas, we'd get food and stuff, and then we'd do the last 4.5 hours down to Casper. So in between Miles City and Wyoming, there's nothing. It's literal open plains. There's not even telephone wires. There's no power lines. There's nothing on this road we took. I mean, it's just flat prairie. You could see for miles and miles. And I'm driving a shuttle van and I probably got 9 guys in there with me. And these guys are all, you know, a lot of them are ex-convicts. Everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. It's a long drive. Everybody's got headphones in. Some people are sleeping. I'm driving. It is absolutely clear sky, blue skies. As far as you can see, there's not a single cloud. We're driving probably an hour outside of Miles City. And I look over to my left out of my driver's side window and I see clear as day, 150 yards off the road, a cigar shaped tube that is super bright, like silver, like as clean silver as I've ever seen. It looked like polished silver and it's just floating above the ground, like 50 feet. There, I can see underneath it. I can see behind it. And it's like 150 yards off the road. And I'm confused for a second because I'm thinking like there's no power lines out here. There's nothing out here. Like there's not a building out here. There's not even animals out there. I mean, there's nothing out there. And I tell the guy in my passenger seat, I said, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. So I wake everybody up. I get everybody's attention in the van because I'm not going to be the only one who sees this. And I'm yelling, get up. Hey, everybody, get up, get up, get up. And I tell them, what is that? And they're all looking and they're like, I don't know. And then as we're all staring at it, probably within like 5, 10 seconds of everybody looking at it, like an old tube TV turns off where it looks like the picture folds into itself, like bloop. That's what it did. It was there. And then all of a sudden it just disappeared and I lost it. I went off the rails. I was like, did you see that? Holy crap. You know, I'm losing my mind. Nobody else is excited. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you guys act like you've seen something like that. I'm like, none of you ever seen nothing like that before. Like, how is that not blowing your guys' minds? And everybody was just like, eh, like, yeah, that was cool, I guess. And which kind of took me back, but I've listened to the show enough. I've heard actually that happens a lot, which at the time I knew nothing about UFOs. I was not into that stuff. I was like confused. Like, do you guys know what that was? And I'm an idiot, but nobody knew what that was. And I was the only one who was freaking out about it. But because of that, I kind of really didn't say anything because I felt kind of like an idiot. Like, I was so excited and out of my mind about it, but nobody else was. And I was kind of the younger guy on the crew. And some of these guys were a lot older than me and had been out there a long time. So you'd think that they would see a lot, but I was pretty blown away. I was like, man, that is absolutely crazy. Oh, I forgot. I had an incident before any of this happened, and I feel like an idiot for bringing it up, but I just talked to two of my buddies recently after I set this interview up. I talked to two of my buddies because I wanted to make sure I wasn't like kind of hyping myself up about what happened. So I was at a bar in Casper, and this is before the UFO stuff in the oil field, but I was still working in the oil field, and I was hanging out with my buddies. And this couple came up to me. Now, Casper is a very small town. Like, everybody knows everybody. I got friends that went to all the schools. Everybody knows everybody. If you're our age, we know you. That's just kind of the way it is. And I had these two people walk up to me, and they were my age. One of them was a kind of a heftier looking Hispanic dude, and he was with this beautiful brunette woman. And they look normal, except for they were wearing like 1970s clothing, which I thought was like really odd. That was like the first thing I noticed was like their bell-bottom pants. I mean, the guy looked like somebody straight off of that 70s show. Like, the stuff he was wearing just did not match at all with like that time. And they started talking to me like randomly. I don't know who these people are. I've never met them. None of my friends knew who they were. I never got their names, but they just started asking me questions about like my belief systems. I don't even know how to explain it. Not like religion or anything, but just like my views on the world, like my views on things. So I just, I was drinking. I started talking to them. I'm a very chatty guy. I'm a very nice guy. I can get along with anybody. And if you're nice to me, of course, I'm going to be nice to you. I make two new friends. So we're chatting. As far as I remember, they were super nice. They didn't really talk a lot. They let me kind of go off. And my buddies were like, hey, we're going to go back to this other dude's house, and we're going to go into his backyard and drink some beer. Like, screw the bar. It's too expensive. Let's get some cases and let's go drink it at our buddy's house. And I'm like, that's perfect. So I told these two people, I'm like, you guys want to come with us? And they're like, yeah, we'll go. And I was like, all right, cool. Just follow us. I jumped in with my buddies. I never seen what they drove or what they were in. I don't know. They followed us apparently because they were at the house with us. So we're all in the backyard and we're talking, and it's just me and them. They didn't talk to anybody else. They didn't talk to any of my friends, nobody else. My friends didn't come talk to us, nothing. And we were talking, and then all of a sudden they said, we're not from around here. And in my mind, I thought, well, yeah, I can see that. Like, I can tell. For one, you're dressed really weird, and no, nobody knows you. Like, I knew you weren't from around here. And they said, no, we're not from this planet. And immediately, because I was in my young 20s, full of piss and vinegar, I was just like, these people are weird. Like, that really threw me off. My best friend, who I've been best friends with since I was in third grade, was out beyond the fence taking a leak on a tree. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. And this is what I had to ask my buddy about, because I was like, I want to see if I'm remembering what happened right, and if you remember these people. And he confirmed this. And so I went over to him because he's my best friend, so I can definitely tell him this. And I walked over and I said, dude, I'm taking a pee by him. And I was like, dude, these guys just told me that they weren't from this planet. And he started laughing, and he's like, yeah, they did kind of seem weird. And I was like, yeah. Well, then I turned around, and they were standing directly behind us. Like, and I had that like shame feeling We're like, you get caught talking crap on somebody and they're standing right behind you, because that's exactly what happened. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was like shame. And then immediately they were upset, seemed at all. They were just like, okay, well, we're going to go. And I was like, okay. And then I never really thought anything of it. I just always thought, man, what a weird encounter, until I saw that UFO. And then I got this like overwhelming feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot. Like, oh, I could have potentially had an interaction. Now, I'm not saying that these people were. They were very weird. I've never met them before. None of my friends ever met them. If at all it was possible that they were something else, I completely screwed it up with my ego. And it bummed me out. It bummed me out something fierce. But so after all that, the UFO that I saw, the cigar-shaped one, that was the last thing I ever had happen to me. That was, you know, probably like 2014 or 20, I don't know, somewhere in the early 2010s. And then I never thought about UFOs again. And then the oil field died out. I moved to Nebraska, married my wife. We live in a nice little town that, come to find out, is famous for a UFO abduction. And I guess, in the 60s, a UFO landed or hovered above a water tower here, and they abducted the sheriff of the town. And it wasn't like a bad abduction. They abducted him. They like showed him around the ship, said, you know, this is what we do. This, look, check out our ship. The guy was like, oh, this is awesome. And they're like, all right, man, thanks for coming by. We'll see you later. Dropped him back down and they took off. So that's, this little town I live in is famous for this. And when I found that out, it like kind of triggered all these old memories of like, holy crap, I've had UFO experiences. Like, that's awesome. So coming from Casper in Wyoming, which there's nothing there. I mean, you can't even see a concert. There's nothing there. You got to go to Denver or somewhere bigger. So I asked my wife, who'd lived here for 10 years already. I said, is there anything like UFO groups here? And she said, I think, you know, look it up. I'm sure Omaha has something, or Lincoln. So I looked it up and I found MUFON. And there's like an actual MUFON group that you can go to if you want, and you can sit in on a meeting that's held at a college in Omaha. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I got a hold of them. They're like, yeah, come by, you know. So that's what I did. I went by, sat in on one of their meetings, and they were like, okay, well, tell us your thing. So I told them all, you know, about these little incidences that happened. And I'm not saying all MUFON's bad, but the feeling I got from these guys was they didn't care about anything unless it was abduction. Unless you've been abducted, they didn't really care about your story. Like, that's all they wanted to hear, was because they kept saying, were you abducted? Can you remember an abduction? No, I don't think I was abducted. Well, you know, unless you got proof, we really don't care. And it was like, ah, that sucks. But there was one guy there. His name was Fred. Real nice guy. He was an abductee. And he told me, you know, he pulled me off to the side at the end. I think he could kind of tell that I was a little bummed out about the response I got. And he's like, dude, you should go home and meditate. Like, practice. I've never meditated before or nothing like that. And he's like, you know, do this. You know, picture yourself out in the universe, whatever, meditate, and then just ask for some connection, you know, put it out there. So I was like, all right, you know, might as well give it a try. So this is like in 2018. Now, my wife is a forensic entomologist. She's a professor at a college here. She is very much science, very much non-religious, doesn't really believe in any of that kind of stuff. I think she believes a little bit in aliens, because of her, she had some things happen to her when she was a kid, but not, she's more, if I can't see it or feel it, it's not really real. So I didn't really have her to bounce off of when it come to this kind of stuff. So I was just kind of winging it. And my mom, I would call her and ask her about stuff like that. And she would just, you know, you just gotta, you know, do what they, you know, try to meditate. Or, you know, my mom is she calls herself a dream walker, where she feels like she can travel in her dreams. So when it comes to dreams, I can talk to her, but anything else, she doesn't really know about. So I go home and I do this for a couple of nights and nothing happens. And I'm like, you know, meditation was nice. Like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed calming my body down. And then one night I had this, it was a very short dream, but I was in a white room sitting cross-legged from my wife. And I feel like we were wearing like these white, like, hospital clothes, it looked like pure white hospital looking clothes. And there was somebody saying something, and I can't remember. I have no idea what it was like, kind of muffled, like, and my wife reached out and put her hand on my leg, and I climaxed, like I, with just her reaching out and putting her hand on my leg. And I was like, I woke up immediately after that. Like, I felt the sensation and everything. And I woke up immediately after that, and my wife woke up at the same exact time. And I looked over at her and I said, I just had the weirdest dream. And she said, yeah, I just had a dream, that a sex dream about you, but you came early. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that blew me away. And then I told her my dream. And I was like, well, I was sitting Indian style in front of you. You reached out and touched me. And I, you know, she's like, she never really said anything about what her dream was. It was just more like we never really got to it. But the fact that that happened to us both in the same night, the same dream, after I had reached out, you know, mentally or whatever, to the universe, it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I was like, holy crap. Like, it was exciting, but at the same time, it was very scary. I have not done that again. Although I really want to, like put it out there, but I'm a little sketched out about, you know, something dark coming, because I don't really know how to protect myself when it comes to all of that. It was just creepy. It was very scary. It was pretty intense. So I wanted to talk about this dream I had. This is a dream I had before I was, I'm pretty sure it's before any of the alien stuff, while I was in the oil field. But I was in the oil field, and this was a dream that impacted me so deeply. For one, I had to call my mom to ask her, because I was beside myself emotionally. Like, I've never had anything like touch my heart or like my soul as much as a dream like this did. And it was a super weird dream. And now, where I'm at in life now, it kind of weirdly filled a bunch of the blanks in. But I'll tell you the dream. So I had a dream. This is before I ever had kids. I was living by myself or with my buddy. I was in my early 20s. You know, I was 5 years away from having my son. I wasn't even with my wife yet. I had this dream that I was in. It was pitch blackout, and there was a cornfield in front of me, and we were on these like rolling hills, and it was me and this little blonde girl, and I had her by the hand, and in my mind, I knew that I had to protect her. Like, there was like this deep knowing that, like, I have to protect this girl. And there was black shadows all around us, and I'm running towards the cornfield, and there's two like torches, like tiki torches, at the front of this cornfield. So it's lighting up this like little pathway in between the cornfields. And I just know in my brain, if I get to that light, we're going to be okay. Like, if I can get us to the light, we're going to be fine. But there was all these black shadows that I could see all around us. And as we're running through this cornfield, I see a body, and it has a gun next to it. So I pick the gun up, and as we're running, I'm just shooting into the darkness at these figures. And I don't know if I'm hitting any of them or anything. And we get to the light finally, and we're in between the cornfield. There's like a pathway in between it. So we're in between, and I turn around and I look at this little girl, and I am completely full of rage, because I know who she is. And I said, who are you? And she said, I'm your daughter. And I said, I know you're my daughter. Why don't I remember you? Because in my brain, I knew she was my daughter, but she was like 8 years old, and I have zero memory of her at all. And it angered me so much that I didn't remember her at all. No memory of her. And she got mad and said, you don't remember me because you won't allow it. And then it ended. And like, it was, I woke up and I was completely beside me. I was crying. I called my mom. I'm like, what does this mean? And she's like, I don't know. You know, I don't even have a girlfriend at the time. I was not planning on having kids anytime soon. It still to this day, it still shook me. And I was living in Wyoming, where there's just flat prairies. And then I moved to Nebraska, where it's all cornfields. I don't have a daughter. I have a son. I don't know. I don't know what it all meant. to me, after I started getting more and more into this, I don't want to say it like a child, like a star child or something, you know, something like that. Like I have like an alien baby or something, but it was the most impactful dream I've ever had. The feeling I had, the reason why I was so upset was because the feeling that I had for her was only the feeling that a parent has for their child, like the love. What freaked me out the most was I'd never felt any emotion like that, power wise, like love wise, until I had my son. And then it clicked in my head, like, holy crap. Like this, the amount of fear and love all mixed into one is like you can only know if you've had a child like that. You're so afraid, but you love them so much. It's like a combined fear love feeling, but it's so overwhelming and happy. But I felt that with that little girl in my dream, but I never knew what it was until I had my own son. And then I felt it again and I'm like, oh, that's what that was. But I don't know why that would resonate in me in a dream with a little girl I've never met, especially a little blonde girl. I have never met a little, you know, I don't have kids. She's not mine. So I don't know.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
But that was a crazy impactful dream. That's, I know a lot of people, there's like weirdness about dreams, but that's one I can't shake. I don't know. I think that's all. I don't really have much else.
Yeah, that is a strange one. And that is an odd dream with your daughter or your dream daughter.
I'm telling you, I've never had a dream like that. And I've never had one that impact. I've had end of the world dreams. Those are almost constant for me. And I don't know why, but that dream impacted me so much. It was so weird because I didn't have kids. I wasn't thinking about having kids. And then for that to happen, all I could think of was like, does this mean I'm going to have a daughter or something? And then I had my son. So I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I had a boy, not a girl. And me and my wife are not having kids. Like, that was it. One and done. So.
And it's weird that she said, you don't remember or you don't want to remember.
Yeah. It was weird to me that I was so angry at her. Like, it was her fault that I didn't remember her. Because that was what was going through my head. Like, it's your fault that I can't remember you. Why can't I remember you? And I was so mad at her. And then she was like, because you won't allow it. And then I was like, well, what the heck does that mean? And then I didn't say that out loud, but in my mind, that's what I was thinking. What does that mean? And then I woke up. Oh my gosh. That was a very impactful dream, man. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. It was weird. It's still a weird dream, even though I have a kid, it's still weird.
Like, when did you have that one?
Oh, it's probably like 2012, 2013 ish.
And you've not had anything like that since?
No, never had a dream of a girl. Never of I've had dreams of my son, but never of any children like that. And that one was so weird though, because it's, to me, it has like a kind of coincidence that after that, I moved to a state that is known for corn. Nebraska is the corn state. So in that dream, I was going to a cornfield. And then I moved later on to a state that is surrounded in cornfields. Everything around us is corn. I don't know. It was almost like I was foreseeing, like, this is where I needed to go or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, it's very odd. It's interesting, though. It is odd.
Yeah, and I would have never guessed to move to Nebraska. Like, this is not a state I want to live in.
Do you like corn?
I hate corn. My allergies here are absolutely crippling. Like, every spring, fall, and winter, I am a complete mess of allergies.
So the moral to it is, if you have allergies, don't move to the Cornhusk state.
Oh my gosh, don't move here. It is terrible. And the humidity is even worse.
See, I love corn.
Oh, I can't stand. Yeah, that's Nebraska.
Where I live, our county is famous. I live in Gloucestershire, and we're famous for sausages, Gloucester sausages, and we're famous for cheese, because we have this hill just down the road from me, and it's...
you guys do the cheese run there.
The cheese rolling, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a documentary on that. That looked... Oh, man, I felt so bad for those people that break their bones. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Ugh. And all you get is a brick of cheese.
It's been going about, oh, well over 100, 200 years, I think. I first went up there in the 80s.
Yeah.
Every year, more and more people go. Thousands of people go now from all around the world. But used to go, and it used to be only really people from the town. The cheese is pretty big. It's a big old wheel of cheese, all right? And it flies down that hill. It's a serious incline to that hill. I've been up and I've been down that hill. It's called Cooper's Hill. But yeah, it's mental. It's mental up there.
Oh, crap. Man, yeah, I've seen that. They had like a little documentary on it, on that cheese hill, like a girl who was a champion of it. I was like, man, but she like broke her ankle and...
Yeah, collarbones, arms, legs, everything. But that's what we're famous for. And rugby.
Jeez. Man, we're not famous for anything other than corn.
Yeah. Wasn't Children of the Corn film there? Was that Nebraska?
Yeah, it's got to be Nebraska. Yeah, I don't know. I don't consider this my state at all. I'm a Wyoming guy. Like, I grew up there. I was born in North Carolina, so I was born on the East Coast, and then I moved to Wyoming at a year old. So that's my home. So I'm all about mountains and hunting and fishing, and that's where I grew up. And then I moved to a state that's completely flat with no mountains. It's like, man, what am I thinking here?
Now, this cylinder craft you saw, you said it was about 150 foot off the road?
Yeah. Like 150 yards. Yeah. It's probably floating because it was floating. It was stationary. It never moved. The best way, the size of it, I would say, if you took like a fat Sharpie and just held it in front of you, like at arm's length, it was that. It was a big craft. Like the size of like a fat Sharpie in your hand. And it was like 50 feet off the ground. And it didn't, I couldn't see anything. It would just look like a, like a cigar tube. That's exactly how I explained it. And this was before I ever knew anything about alien spacecrafts. All I knew was saucers, like, you know, the classic saucer spacecraft. I had no idea that cigar-shaped ships were a thing. And then when I saw that, you know, and then I learned it, I'm like, holy crap, I've seen one of those. Like, this is amazing. And it was a cigar. That's what it looked like, just a cigar shape. It didn't move. Nothing. It blipped out. It like sucked into itself. Black hole in the middle. It just whoop, gone. Like it blinked out of this dimension. It completely blew my mind. I was blown away. But nobody else was. It was like they had seen something like that before, and it completely threw me off.
Completely blasé about it.
Well, and then the fact that there was like 9 of us, and none of them thought that it was insane. Like, and I'm screaming, you never seen nothing like that before. How are you guys not excited or freaking out about this? And they were just like, nah, because I'm not the guy to let it go. Like, oh yeah, no, I was like, how are none of you guys freaking out? Like that was you. None of you ever seen nothing like that before. I've never seen anything like that before. And they were just like, not a big deal. And then I just thought that that was just very strange until I was listening to your podcast and started finding out that happens a lot. Like a lot of people see that, experience people just meh about something incredibly strange or, you know, something nobody's ever seen before. Like how I just, in my brain, I could not fathom how they were not as excited as I was about it.
Yeah, sure. The alien UFO apathy.
Yeah. And again, I had no idea that that was even a thing. I literally just could not explain it in my brain. Like, how are you guys not as excited as I am? That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And still to this day, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, something just completely disappearing, like bloop, blipped out in less than a second. While we're all looking at it, it's not like we looked away and looked back and it was gone. We watched it do it. We watched it disappear. That was, to me, that was what was the craziest part. Like, if I looked away and then looked back and it was gone, I might have tried to think, oh, okay, maybe it was, you know, something. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I was just imagining that, or I don't know. But the fact that we were all staring at it, all of us, and then it just disappeared while we were looking at it. And there was we had another company truck in front of us, and they didn't see anything. They didn't see it at all. But it was so big and right off the road, it was like, how do you not see that? It's right next to us. Like, I just glanced out of my window, and there it was. But they didn't see it, and they were a car length ahead of me. And none of them saw it, and there was five guys in that truck in front of us.
And it was in the afternoon, wasn't it? So what, nice clear blue sky.
I think we leave at 7 in the morning. It's about 4.5 hours to Miles City. And like I said, we're probably 45 minutes to an hour outside of Miles City. So it was the dead middle of the noon, like afternoon, completely blue skies, beautiful out. I mean, not a cloud in the sky. The wind wasn't blowing. It was middle of, I'd say, summer. It was nice out. It was beautiful. Yeah, there's no power lines. There was nothing out there. It's just flat prairie. That's all there is. And then there it was. It was just sitting, you know, just chilling by the road. Nobody seemed to care. It just seemed like I was the only one who was completely out of my mind about it. And I've talked to my buddy that I worked with, because I couldn't remember if he was on that trip with us. And I called him like a week ago and I was like, do you remember that? And he's like, no, man. He's like, I only remember you telling me about it. Like, nobody else said anything about it. I was the only one, even after the fact, that was like, oh my gosh, you know, we saw UFO. Nobody else said anything about it. Nobody cared.
Could you see any features with the object?
No, it was like a very shiny silver. That was all I could tell. Like, it was the perfect cigar shape. There was nothing on it, no windows, no nothing like that. And it was just beautifully polished, absolutely flawlessly polished.
And it just blinked out like a TV.
Yeah, like an old tube TV. Because, it didn't like it was like it sucked into the middle of it. Like, that's what it looked like. Everything disappeared from the edges inward. Like, it bloop. Like an old tube TV that turns off. The picture just, everything goes into the middle of the screen. Like, that's what it did.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Now, you and your family are quite open with the paranormal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my mom, my dad's more old school Western. I don't think he believes in aliens per se, but he definitely believes in ghosts. My dad's very tough, military, very old school. I never really went to him about ghosts because I never thought he would. I didn't think he believed in it until I got older. And then he told me a story about a house that we all lived in when I was little. And we lived in it. My grandma, the one who lived behind us in that other ghost story, she's kind of always lived with us, like around us. It's my mom's mom. And she lived in this house with us. And I don't remember this house ever being scary, anything like that. But my grandma, my mom, and my dad were all having coffee at the table in the kitchen. And my mom was walking to the front door. And then my mom had one of these, have you ever seen a 6-wick candle?
Sure.
They're about 9 inches around and about a foot tall. They weigh like 5 pounds. They're huge candles. My dad said him and my grandma were sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee, talking. And my mom got up to go to the front door. I think she was leaving. And that candle was in the living room and it flew off the table and hit my mom. And my mom turned around and said, like, that, for one, that's not funny. Like, that's a big candle. Don't throw it at me. And she said that my dad and my grandma were ghost white. And they were like, we didn't throw that at you. That came off the table next to you. So my dad, and then I was like, okay, cool. So my dad does believe in this stuff somewhat. But my mom's always been very, very, you know, she believes very much in the spirits. But she grew up Native American, So she has like weird connections to the spirit world. My grandfather, her dad is an empath. I think he claims that he can connect with his dead brother and that he talks to his parents still, and he's 80. So he says still claims, yeah, I can speak to him. Like they talk to me, but he's very much Native American belief. Like, I don't even know. Cause I don't follow that stuff, but yeah, that's my mom. When I started telling my mom about the dreams that I have, the first thing she told me is you have the gift too. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she said her grandmother, Mammy, that's what she called her, was an empath and she had foresight. And then my mom is what a dream walker and also has somewhat foresight. So she like senses things that are bad before they happen. My uncle, her brother, just died at the end of this last year of COVID. And my mom had called him a couple of times just to check on him. And one day she just woke up and told my dad, we have to go to his house now. And they rushed over there and he was almost dead. He was blue. His oxygen levels were completely depleted. And she's like, I don't know why, but when I woke up, I had this overwhelming feeling that he was in trouble. And I mean, he passed away from it, but my mom just has like this weird sense. She can sense these types of things. Like it's very strong in her. And she's always told me like, you need to figure out how to control it if you do have it, because it can be useful, I guess. I don't know. I've always kind of been not skeptical, but just like, bland about it, because I don't know anybody who has any knowledge in that stuff. So to me, I'm like, I have no help. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to not think about it because I don't know.
Could be an interesting thing to explore, you know, especially your heritage and all. And you know, especially your mum's a dream walker. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, anytime she wants to come on and share some of those accounts, she is more than welcome.
Yeah. And I don't even know what a dream walker is. All she told she and my dad has even said, yeah, there's something going on with your mom, is that she says she can travel to different planes when she's asleep. Like not like airplanes, but she can travel other places when she's sleeping. She told me that my grandpa also has the ability. She said that they live an hour apart, and she said that she had coffee with him in his kitchen while she was sleeping. Like she traveled to his house and drank coffee with him. And then I was like, well, how do you know that wasn't a dream? And she's like, cause I talked to your grandpa and he told me that I was there drinking coffee with him. I was like, whoa, like that's, I don't know. It's very bizarre. I'm more of my dad's son than my mom's, you know? So I'm more old school, kind of stubborn about it. But my mom said that there was a lady who was supposed to teach her how to use it. But that lady died before she ever got to teach my mom anything. So my mom was just kind of left to her own to figure it out. But she's like, I don't know enough about it to help you, so get a book and read about it. But I'm not even for sure that I have any, like, I'm not an empath. I cannot communicate with anything beyond myself, thank God, because I think I would die of fright. But foresight, maybe. I've had a couple of experiences where I thought something and then it happened moments later. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. That's a little strange. The weirdest one. And this was even hard for me to believe when it happened. I was walking. I was a little kid. I was probably 10 years old. And I was walking through a field going across a park to go see my buddy. And a car was driving. And when you're a kid, you're just thinking weird stuff when you walk by yourself. You're just kind of always thinking of weird stuff. And I saw a vehicle, like a truck, driving down the road that I was about ready to come to. And all I thought in my head was, that car, somebody's going to pull a gun out. Point a gun at me from that car. And when I looked up, there was a kid with his arm leaned out the window with a cap gun pointed at me. And it was as soon as I saw who it was my buddy. But it always kind of blew my mind a little bit that I was like, I totally thought that was going to happen right before it happened. And it was like a cap gun. Like it was just a little cap gun. He was just saying, what's up? But when I saw the truck, there was no windows down. It was just a truck. I didn't recognize it. And I thought, oh, somebody's going to pull a gun on me. in that truck. And when I looked up, my buddy was leaned out the window with a cap gun pointed at me. And I was just like, holy crap, that's weird. And I told my mom about it. And that's, you know, that's when she started telling me like, oh, you might have something. You might have the gift that's in our family. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I've dreamt. I remember as being a kid, it would be nothing great, nothing spectacular. I would dream things and then they would happen. And it wasn't anything bad or good. It was just certain things, like certain situations that would happen. And I would tell my mom in the moment, I dreamt about this. And she would say, no, you have deja vu. No. And I tell her, no. I remember the dream. I dreamt about this. Like this, I've dreamt this before. That's not deja vu is a completely different feeling. It's like, it's weird. It's like reliving a memory. I don't even know how to explain it. Like deja vu is like, you're kind of confused for a second and you feel like you've been there. In those incidences, it was, I have dreamt this exact scenario. I know what's happening. Like this isn't a confusing moment. I dreamt this like the other night, this exact scenario. It's a way different feeling than deja vu. But since I've gotten older, that doesn't really happen to me much anymore. I don't know why, but it just, maybe my innocence depleted, but it doesn't really happen much anymore. But I remember telling my mom that a lot as a kid. Like I've dreamt this before. Like this moment we're in right now, I've had a dream of it. And she's like, oh, that's, you know, that's strange. Like, you know, you might have the gift. I was like, okay, I don't know.
Foresight, yeah. It sounds like it. It sounds like you got something going on there.
She told me, she's like, you know, because I haven't talked to her about this stuff in a long time. So I called her after I'd emailed you. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to go on this show. I want to talk about this stuff, but I don't want to sound like I'm crazy because I actually don't know a lot about any of this stuff. And I was like, you know more, a little bit more than I do. And she's like, yeah, you know, you might have the gift of foresight and all this. And I was like, okay. And she's like, I told her, I'm like, you know, I've always had horrifying dreams about the end of the world. Always. And she's like, they're all kind of natural disaster-ish. And I was like, so if I have foresight, I hope I don't, because I don't want that kind of stuff to come true. Cause it's always just terrifying in my dreams. And I always die. Like I'm never, it's not like I ever get away. I always die at the end. I had one the other night that was, they always take place in Wyoming, that I was driving in Wyoming and there was a giant green sphere, like cylinder looking thing coming through the clouds. And it was very, very bright green, which is to me, this one was not a natural disaster one, but all the clouds were circling around it almost like a tornado. And then something shot out of the end of it and everything went white. And I was like, holy crap. I woke up in a sweat. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That one was intense. So I don't know what that was. Well, I told my buddy about that, my best friend that I called to talk to him about the other incident. And he's like, he said, what? He said it was a green light. I said, yeah. And where I had told him that the dream had happened was around the mountain that we live right at the base of. And he said a couple of years ago, he went hunting with one of our other buddies and he had driven back there and he had seen a giant green light back in that area. And I was like, whoa. And he's like, I'm not saying they're connected. I'm just saying that's really odd. I was like, well, I just had this dream like a week ago. So I don't think there's any connection, but it was just odd to him because he doesn't really believe in this stuff. But he's like, that's just really weird, man. He's like, I saw a green light back there, like a really bright one in the sky. And he's like, I can't explain it. I was like, that is weird.
Try and have better dreams. The thing we need is end the world. Yeah. Dreams going on at the minute.
Yeah. They're usually about Yellowstone. And I think that was basically growing up in Wyoming. There was always talk about Yellowstone blowing.
Right, right.
So, and it was always like, you know, what's our survival rate and stuff. It was there. A lot of that happened when you're a kid in Wyoming. Everybody talked about Yellowstone. So I think a lot of the ones when I was a kid were that one. The very first one I had was unlike any dream I've ever had. And the older I get, the weirder to me it becomes, because I've never had a dream like this. And it was about the end of the world. In my head, I think a comet had hit the planet. So where I lived, we were running up the mountain, me and my buddy, and all the ocean waves, like these gigantic 1,000-foot waves, had surrounded us. from all sides, 360 degrees, and we're standing on the mountain and looking all around us, and all the waves just stopped, all just kind of sitting there. And then all of a sudden, like, our spirits left our bodies. It was like, that's exactly what happened. Our spirits left our bodies. Like, we were blue and we just rose up, and I could see him and he could see me, but we were just spirits and we were just rising into the air. And then I woke up and I thought that was very weird. I never had a dream. That was when I was little. I was a little kid when that happened.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, that was a crazy dream, but yeah, that's it.
Hopefully none of this will come true.
I don't know, man. That spirit one was pretty cool. Not the end of the world ones, but that spirit one was cool.
For sure, for sure. And like I said, if this episode makes it to air, then we know we've done okay for a few months at least.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah, no alien takeovers, no nuclear holocaust. No, I've never had dreams like that. It was basically Yellowstone and some green thing that hit the earth. I don't know. Yeah, but whatever it happened, you know, in every dream, it always ends like immediately. So I don't think anybody will suffer.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Let's just quickly go back to the cowboy ghost.
Yeah.
You saw him in a lot of detail. Kind of shows you the image like the Marlboro man.
Yeah, yep. I wish that I could like show a picture of this. There's a famous Wyoming like cowboy. It's, you know, Wyoming has its symbol. It's a bronc rider, but there's another symbol that's a lot like the Marlboro man, where it's just a cowboy with his arms crossed, with his hat on. I think he's got like a piece of hay in his mouth, and he's got his arms crossed with one leg bent up over the other, like leaning up against something, you know. That's exactly what this guy looked like. Exactly. I couldn't see through it. That's why I thought it was his dad, because it was so solidly black. All I could think of is that this is a person. But then as I started, you know, as I got older and thought more about it, like the light from the bottom of the stairs coming down where he was standing, I should have been able to see him, like something, a color of a shirt, the color of his pants, his boots. I should have been able to see some sort of color to it because of the light. The light was bright. I mean, they left the kitchen light on upstairs. And the blue light coming from the TV coming the other way should have illuminated him in some other way, at least his face. Never saw anything. He was just jet black, completely black, and he never moved. And man, I was so scared.
That's cool, though. That's cool.
And the buddy, he has an older sister and an older brother. And his older brother is like 20 years older than us. So he was already way moved out of the house. And his dad told me the next day that it was his oldest brother that had seen a little girl in the house. So, but to me, that shocked me. I mean, his dad was the wrestling coach. Like he was a no bullcrap guy. But he was very tiny, which I guess I just, my child brain never put together that if that was his dad, it would have been a much smaller guy. He wouldn't have been wearing cowboy clothes because his dad's not a cowboy. He's always wore sweats and a t-shirt, you know, basically ready for wrestling practice type of guy. It was, I don't know. It was very strange, but it shook me even more when his dad said, a guy, that's weird. I never heard of a cowboy, just a little girl. And I'm like, oh my goodness, your house is so haunted. I don't want to stay here anymore.
Could be that they've just never seen, you know, the cowboy before.
My buddy was sound asleep. I just had woken up out of nowhere. Like it wasn't like anything had happened that woke me up. I had just woken up, like being fresh out of sleep. I was wide awake. I wasn't drowsy. I wasn't tired. I was like when you catnap and you wake up and you feel completely 100% after like an hour, that's what it felt like. Like I was completely awake and I felt like somebody was watching me. So I peeked up over the table and there was a guy and I was like, holy crap, holy crap. Like almost crippling fear. But I was trying to tell myself it was his dad checking on us. It's just his dad checking on us. And then I kept looking and he was still there. And then I'd peek over again and he was still there. And I'm sure if it was his dad, he would have said, dude, it's fine. Like, you're okay. Go to sleep. Like, you know, like it would be clear to see a little kid do that, that he was scared. So if it was his dad, I'm sure his dad would have relieved my fear and been like, it's just me. You're okay. I was just checking on you, you know?
The sound of spurs going around as he walks away.
I don't know, man. I never heard any noises. I never heard anything. He never moved. He stayed in the same. It was almost like a cardboard cutout, you know, like that's what it seemed like. He never moved an inch. Never got closer, further away, never changed positions, just stood in that same spot like that. No red eyes, no nothing like that. It was just a sheer black, jet black figure. It was creepy.
That's awesome, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate it.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
A little off topic, not only have you been dabbling in the paranormal, but you've been dabbling in podcasts, and you've got a little podcast on the go, right?
I do. Yeah. It's just called Two Drunk Bros. It has nothing to do with aliens. It's just me and my buddy. We just talk about everything and anything.
Movies, video games, comics.
Yes. A lot of them are about video games, comics. That was what we started it for, was video games, comic books, stuff, because we're huge nerds. And then basically it's kind of just dribbled into, we just talk about everything now. Life, kids, comic books. It's an absolutely hilarious podcast. So we've been told. We think we're funny, but other people have told us that, yeah, you guys are pretty good on there. So, but it's just a little YouTube podcast. They're really long episodes, though. So if you're bored and you ain't got a lot going on, you know, they're easy to listen to. They're like 2 hours long.
I'm gonna check it out. So if anyone else wants to visit, you're only on YouTube, right?
Yeah, only on YouTube.
Okay, Two Drunk Bros.
Not for the easily offended either. My buddy and me have a darker than most sense of humor.
So you've been warned. Viewer discretion advised.
Yeah, you've been warned. Yeah. They're not for the easily offended. Well, hey, man, I absolutely appreciate you. I love your show, dude. It's the best. I've listened to a lot of UFO podcasts after I listened to all yours. I was like, oh, I got to find something else to fill the gap. Nobody does it like you. You've spoiled me for months now. And now that I've caught up, I'm like, dang it. Nobody else is as good as Nick.
it doesn't surprise
me that you've blown up.
You're just saying
that. Yeah. Well, you make this very easy. I'm sure a lot of people are like pretty hesitant because they get nervous, but man, you just roll in and make it super easy for people. Well, I mean, not everybody comes from people who understand them either. Maybe they're afraid of, oh, if somebody hears this, you know, I'm going to get like ostracized from this group of people, which I'm super open about everything. I'm one of those people who just don't care. Like my mom and dad are pretty cool people. I've always had a pretty good group, and my friends are all, they know that I'm not going to make crap like that up. So they're like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, wish we could have saw it, but yeah, that's crazy. So
yeah, it's good that you're surrounded by people like that. Yeah. Not everyone has that, you know, I mean, to be honest, you know, I've had people from NASA on here. I've had scientists, I've had doctors, I've had firefighters, truckers, you name it. And a lot of time we don't say what their job is or even sometimes their name. That's why we have to keep the name. But it's just everyday people, you know. So not everyone is very articulate. Some people find it difficult to open up. But I wanted to make it as easy as possible for everyone, you know. And and you know, every episode I release, I get more people contact me. I heard so and so on, or I've just heard Cody on, and this happened to me, and you know, so that's how it does. It snowballs. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to contact you, because I heard so many stories that were like mine that in my brain I'm like, holy crap, that's totally like I've seen that. I've felt that. That's crazy. The dream thing I never even put together that it might have anything to do with this kind of stuff until I listened to your podcast. And then I heard all these people talking about their dreams, and I'm like, man, like I've always had weird dreams. Like, my mom tells me I'm, you know, got some sort of thing going on. Like, maybe I should say something about it. Maybe somebody else could connect with it. And then I heard a girl you had on that said that she has always had end of the world dreams. And I was like, holy crap. Like, me and that girl, I can't remember what episode that was, but me and that girl had so much in common. Just listening to her, I was like, holy crap. Like, this girl. I think she was the one who said that she had a interaction about, she was one of five. And I was like, oh, I know nothing about that. But she was talking about how she's always had reoccurring end of the world dreams. And I was like, man, I've never talked to anybody else who's had those. Like, I keep them to myself because I just figure it's just my brain.
Yeah, I've had a few on. But yeah, it's there's so many reoccurring themes I have on this show now.
Man, they got to mean something, man. It's not coincidence, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, like,
that's kind of what opened my eyes. I'm like, well, other people have the exact same things going on that I did. This cannot be a coincidence. Like, even if they were all making it up, how does everybody make up the same stuff? It just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm like, there's something to it.
There's books I've read years ago, and there's people I've met that I've had experiences that haven't shared them. All right. And there's similarities in that I'm hearing again and again and again. And because these similarities are so subtle, it's not a factor. So if someone's going to lie, they're going to pull certain things out and they're not going to think about adding all these other things. So it's quite complicated. But yeah, a lot of these little similarities do pop up now and again.
Yeah. Just purely because you've had way more conversations with people, I just want to ask you this, because my wife, again, she's like a doctor, full on, does not believe in anything that she cannot see, touch, or explain. She told me, and this blew me away because she's never told me anything like this. This was after the dream thing. Cause I was like, I was like, man, this is UFO stuff. She's like, she told me that when she was a little girl, she woke up in her bed and there was all she can describe him as is the Grinch sitting with his feet on her bed. Like, he was sitting in a chair with his feet cross-legged on her bed. And she calls him the Grinch because when he smiled, he had like 100 teeth and they were all jagged like the Grinch. Like, they were all overlapping each other and there was just like an enormous amount of teeth in his mouth. But she said he sat there on her, like, with his feet on her bed for like an hour and he just smiled at her. And I was like, what? Like, that, I'd never heard anything like that. I've listened to your podcast. Every time I listen to people's stories, I listen for something kind of like that. I've never heard any other story like that. And she said she was so scared she couldn't even scream. She was just frozen.
Well,
but she said he looked like the Grinch.
I've had quite a lot of strange creatures and things turn up in children's bedrooms, you know, especially when they were younger. So get your wife to record it. We'll put it on and then we'll see what else we get.
Yeah. Because I've never heard anybody else explain, like, describe anything quite like that. Thought that was, and she's only ever told me that once. And I try to talk to her about it. And she's like, yeah. She doesn't want to talk to me about it. But I'm like, man, that is like, that's crazy. Like, that's scary as hell. Like, that's super scary.
And she led there for an hour while he was on the end of the bed, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She just laid there staring at it. She said she was her dad was a U.S. Marshal. So, like, you know, her dad was her protector. And she said she was so scared she couldn't do anything. Like, and it didn't move. She said it just smiled at her and she could see all of its teeth. And it was just like, not sharp teeth, just like the Grinch, like all the teeth overlapping each other. And there was just hundreds of them, hundreds of teeth in its mouth.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. Oh, man, I want my wife to get on here. My wife has had incredible. We had a black cat that just died last year. Her name was Cersei. My wife had her for like 19 years. And my wife only allows black animals in our house because she had a dream when she was in college that she was attacked by a dog with red eyes. And when she woke up, there was a dog, a black dog, outside of her window. She had a basement room and there was a basement window. There was a dog outside of her window growling. And her cat, Cersei, who just died last year, attacked that dog. And my wife said it was like a vampire dream, like a vampire had turned into this black dog and was trying to attack her. And her cat, Cersei, had saved her from it. And so my wife is like a full on believer in that kind of stuff. She's like, we can only have black animals, black cats. We have two black cats right now since Cersei died. I have a black lab and I have a pit bull who's white, which my wife is not a fan of, but he's mine. And I moved here with him. So, but Yeah, she's a huge believer in that kind of stuff, just not aliens, which I think is odd.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the craziest. So my wife's mom, they're very close. They're like best friends. The craziest thing about this, what this is the craziest part of the story. Holy crap. My wife ran upstairs to her mom's bedroom. My wife was in college. She was staying with her mom while she was in college. She ran upstairs to her mom's bedroom where her mom was sleeping and started telling, she's telling her mom, "Mom, wake up, wake up. There's something that happened." And her mom woke up and said, "Was it a black dog?" And she's like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I know, I just dreamt about it." Like, what? Like, how could you not believe in what I'm telling you when all this crazy stuff has happened to you? Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, have a word with her. That's awesome.
I need to tell her, man, now that I'm thinking about all this, she told me all this stuff years ago and I've never thought twice about it. But man, now that I'm thinking about it all, man, she's got better stories than I do. Man, maybe I should talk to her mom. Her mom was telling me that my wife and her mom think that they saw werewolves, but they were Native American people.
So like the skinwalker.
Yeah, but they were eating something in the middle of the road in the middle of the night. And my wife said that these were like huge. Big wolves, like they'd never seen and there ain't wolves in Nebraska. And this was in Nebraska. And then they drove around it and kept driving. And then in the middle of the road ahead of them in pitch black. I mean, this is like one of the darkest places in the country. Pitch black. There was a group of Native American dudes walking like 100 yards in front of them. All right.
Okay, brother. Cody, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences with our listeners today.
I appreciate you too, buddy. All right, buddy. Well, it was a pleasure, and I thank you so much. I look forward to listening to more of your podcasts.
Yeah, keep in touch, Cody, and I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Yep. Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Ash and Cody for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.